growing up in a polygamous home taught me to always put myself first. I know it sounds selfish, but it's what I'm all about, putting myself first. Imagine growing up in a house where there are 4 wives, 16 children. You don't want to know. My mom alone had 5. So do the maths. Anyway, most times my dad I don't even identify his children. He will go by you, his, you know, that kind of thing. Because the children are just too much. Yes, he was a very wealthy man. But come on, man. Just because you have money does not mean that you should just be spreading your wild oat up and down. You know what I mean? My dad had money, but my dad was very stingy. I don't know how my mom and her co-wives fell into the trap of marrying such a man. Like, I don't even have a relationship with him, and I couldn't care less. You know, he was always looking for the next skirt to get under, even as old as he was. He had money. We all went to public schools. We all had to wait for our mother's turn for the week to get what we wanted. It was just crazy. It's like Fuji House of Commotion, but without the jokes. It wasn't funny, you know. So I and my siblings, we all, you know, the moment you get to the age of 13, 14, and you're a teenager, you can talk, you have small sense, go and look for a job. So yeah, I did all kinds of jobs, and I was happy doing the job because it meant I would have money for myself. I worked in a restaurant, not restaurant, but high class. I mean, mama put a wash plate at the end of the week. She pay me like 300 naira. But she wanted none of that. On the side, I was getting tips from customers, you know. Hey, Smally, hold this one. 50 naira here, 100 naira here. So by the time the week is over, I've made twice my salary on tips. Sometimes even more when all those useless pedophiles come to eat. I mean, as a sharp girl now, you cannot con a con artist. Although I'm not really a con artist, but you know what I'm trying to say now. I'm smart. So whenever they come with all those jarus, my wife, I say, brother, give me jare, I'm hungry. I say, you never eat? No, never eat. 500 naira, 200 naira. All these things, I need to take care of myself. I will buy sanitary pads, I will, you know, go to market. I knew where to get the good or quicker deals now. So I was always, I wasn't wearing trendy stuff, but I was close, you know. It wasn't brand new, but it was on trend. And now I was okay with it. So I lived that kind of life. Finished secondary school, I managed. By the time I finished secondary school, I was doing ushering job. Because I had a body now, tall, slim. So I wanted to be a model. Not because I loved modeling, but because I heard there was money in it. But then I registered with one modeling company, and the girl was like, give me modeling gig now. You have to do other gigs too, like ushering, and you know, and that ushering sometimes you can have to do jobs for, like, you know, all these wine companies or beer companies, and they're mostly at night. But you see, a beggar doesn't have a choice, right? I tried to always be careful. And I would do the jobs were good. Sometimes 2 days and you make 30,000, depending on the company that's doing the job, you know. So yeah, it was paying me. I wanted to go to school, but my dream has always been to travel abroad and study. So I met one guy. His name is Taju. Taju is one of those smart, intelligent boys in the street that was always on the computer. It wasn't a Yahoo boy, but he's always like browsing schools. One day I went to the internet cafe. I was like, what are you doing? He said, I'm just checking out one school like that in Texas. I like, Texas, as in Texas in America. He said, yes. I said, what's up? How is the school like? Like, oh, they are giving scholarship. Not everybody knows. Oh, like, can I apply? So have you finished secondary school? Say yes now. How's your work? I told him, like, I didn't get all A's, but at least the least of my grades was C. But like, correct. Bring it, let me help you. Let me see. Let's try. That's right. You have nothing to lose. I said, okay. And that's how we started. We applied for so many schools. We're just throwing application up and down. Is it what cut? I said, nursing, medicine, anyone. I hear that's what is the in thing. He said, I didn't know all these things. You just get out. My ear is always on the ground now. You know me now. I talk to people. I'm like, okay, well, we applied, but most of the schools that were calling me, sending me feedback were not free. I was so disappointed. I was hurt. But then I got one school. I don't know. I was just drawn to the school. I'm like, I need to get to this Texas. I need to get to that school. I was like, okay. I took the admission letter. That is, and then they sent me an admission letter to my email. I took it. So I had some gigs that I've been doing. And there was this one that was with one energy drink company. It was going to be for 2 weeks. It's at the beach. I wasn't comfortable with it, but the money was big, as in per week you get 200k, and that's my commission. On that one's not my agent to get his own money, that's my own cut, 200k. I'm like, is this thing real? He said yes. Like, the very big energy company are trying to, it was a whiskey company that produced an energy drink, and they're trying to sell it out in Nigeria. I'm like, okay. Well, I took the gig. I was just focused on doing the whole thing. That you see all these white men, everybody was just there. I'm like, look, I was not a prostitute. I don't sleep around, but I was on a mission. I either raise my school fees, or at least part of it, or I find myself somehow find someone that will sponsor me. But I was just still there. I wasn't a praying girl like that. Well, it doesn't mean once in a while I don't say the sign of the cross and say God help me, you know, those kind of things. Anyway. So I did this gig. While I was doing this gig, there was this white Oyibo guy that was just on my case. Older than me. He wasn't, look, I just finished secondary school, so like 2 years ago, I was like 20. And this guy, I'm telling you, is in his 60s. But he just took a shine to me, and me, as a sharp girl, you know, you have to play and milk it as much as you can. So he kept talking to me. Look, I grew up in a jungle practically, so I have to grow up. Sometimes when I speak, I don't speak like my age. I speak like someone older than I am. And so I got talking. I found out that he was a divorcee. He had a kid. And his company, he was one of the managers of the company that was opening here. The guy just took a shine to me. So we got talking. Every day when I come, he was always there waiting for me to come. And my job as a usher, I couldn't sit down, so we had to stand throughout, like from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. Although sometimes we take turns to go and find somewhere to sit down and stretch our legs. So he would come and sit down next to me and talk. You know, just some simple pleasantries to, so how's your day today? I'm like, I'm just here to hustle. You know, sometimes he'd be like, okay, so what's your code? I'm like, you shouldn't be giving me that kind of information. It's personal. I'm like, okay, I get it. But you were such a pretty girl, you know. I like you. I think you are different. I said, thank you. He's like, okay, have you ever been to America? My head stand. I said, no. Actually, I was working on getting a scholarship to study in Texas. I got admission, but I was not lucky enough to get the scholarship. Apparently, I applied late, so the program for the scholarship was already full. Instead, I got the admission to actually study the full program, but without a scholarship. So now I have to just give it up. He's like, why? Why would you give it up? I said, bros, I do not have $5,000 to pay. Year. Do you know what $5,000 is? They were like, but most schools can pay in installments. I said, yes, even half of it I don't have, even one quarter of it I don't have. So I have to look for a cheaper school. They were like, $5,000 as a what course? I said I wanted to study medicine, but I got radiography and I also like it. We're like, that's interesting. Well, what's the name of this school? Maybe I know somebody. I told him the name of the school. Like, okay, well, give me a few days. Let me make some calls. I'll see what I can do for you. I'm like, really? Are you serious? His name was Benjamin. I'm like, Mr. Benjamin. Oh, please. It's Benjamin. Everybody calls me Benjamin. Or Ben. I'm like, okay. Thank you, Ben. So that day passed. I didn't see him the next day. And the third day, which was like 2 days to the end of the event, he was like, okay, I got back from talking with my friend. He knows somebody that helps students get into schools. That like, okay. And I told him about you, and he was interested. I'm like, really? He doesn't even know me. Well, I was convinced, and let's say, I'm like, that's really lovely. You're like, so what you're gonna do is give me your email, send me a copy. This is my email. Send me a copy of your documents, your school information, and I will forward it to him. Sharp, sharp, there and then. Eh? As I always carry copies of my. I was on a mission. I don't know why. But you see that my handbag, there's nothing you will not find inside. You will find my photocopy, school certificate. You will find passport picture. Anything you will find. Because sometimes when we go for this show, you ask us to go and snap passport photographs. So I always have bought a lot of them in my bag. Anyway, fortunately for me, I carried that bag that day, and I had to say, like, I have a copy. They're like, okay, you know what, give it to me. So I gave it to him, and he promised to call me the next day. I'm like, but this show ends in 2 days. Say, don't worry, I'm still in Nigeria for to the end of the month, so we'll see. I'm like, really? Yeah. I'm staying at this hotel here. It was one of these Transcorp on the island, which was actually close to the beach. Like, I'm staying at Transcorp, so you can always meet me there. I'll call you. I'm like, please, I will call you. Give me your number too. I'm like, okay, I'll definitely call you, but you feel free to call me at any time. I said, okay. That's how I am Ben. Became friends. So he started pulling some strings for me, trying to get me into this another scholarship scheme. Not in the exact school, but in another school that was way cheaper. The school was cheaper. And I got a scholarship. I was so happy. When he called me, like, I sent you an email, have you seen it? I checked my email, lo and behold, admission. I was so happy. I've been saving all this money. I wanted to, you know, move out of my father's house and start a life for myself and look at the opportunity. And so, he was like, okay, so, the visa process, he knows somebody. See, God was just before me, with this whole thing. He knew somebody at the embassy, so it didn't take me long to get an appointment. I went sharp. I took my admission letter and everything, and they gave me admission, a visa. I only got 6 months to be able to. I was allowed to renew after 6 months because my studies was for 4 years. But you won't give you 4 years straight now. You have to renew every time. 6 months is 2 semesters, I think. 1 semester plus four months is a semester. So I like, okay, so I got ready. I didn't tell anybody in my family. It was until I was sure that I was leaving, like a week before I left, then I told my mom that I'm going abroad. Mom said, how, when did that one happen? I told her I got admission, I got a scholarship, and I had a sponsor. I was like, sponsor by who? Like, don't worry about it. So you, this girl, you have always been weird. I'm like, I'm not weird. I'm looking for a better life for myself, mom. She's like, okay, well, you are my child, and I can't just watch you leave. Like, I said, mom, don't worry, I'm fine. I've been thinking of myself since I was 13. I said, all this thing I'm doing is for you, so that tomorrow it could be better for all of us for this house. At least me and my siblings and you. So don't worry yourself, I'll be fine. Well, long story short, my mom called a meeting with my dad, informed him of my plans. My father said, okay, well, good luck. I said, you're not even going to give me money to hold myself. He said, did I send you to go abroad? Do you think I can afford abroad things? I looked at this man like, your own child, the only one of your children that finally cut out of this poverty life. He said, nobody's living in poverty. I'm not a poor man. I said, you're not a poor man, but look at your children. But I said, if you talk to me anyhow, I will slap you with this rat. I said, well, good riddance, I'm leaving. So I left. 2 weeks later, I found myself in Texas. Now, the only person I knew was Ben. And Ben doesn't live close to me where my school was. But anyway, I moved into the hostel, started my program with geography. I and Ben kept talking. I kept the contact to my girl, you know, the Trovi helper now. So I kept contacting me. I and Ben kept getting closer and closer. Like, I really like you. I really do like you. See, my name is Nkechi. And I told him, you can call me Enki. But somehow he pronounces Enki. So, I like you, Enki. Like, well, I like you too, but I'm here to study. Like, yeah, I'm not going to disturb your studies. Look, I know the age difference. Like, age is just a number. Come on, I'm not one to think about that. Well, like, really? Yeah. Well, like, so, would you marry me? Like, wouldn't it have an effect on my visa? I was trying to form, I'm not interested in your money. My God, let me tell you, that was the goal. Like, no. Like, in fact, if anything, it's going to help you get your green card faster. I'm like, really? Like, don't you know this? I said, no, that's why I went to school. I don't know all these things. But like, oh, you're so naive and innocent. That's why I like you. You're innocent, you are pure. I'm like, thank you. Long story short, before I say anything, before that semester was over, I had already married Benjamin. And I am now Mrs. Thompson. Because his name was Benjamin Thompson. I know, right? Benjamin Thompson. Well, I'm Mrs. Thompson. I was Mrs. something. I found out that I could keep my last name. I didn't have to change it. But I was like, if I keep this last name, I'll have it day. I said, no, I will take his last name. So I married him. And he kept helping me through school. I got a job. I was working and going to school. Now I didn't have to worry about where I lived, paying for rent. Benjamin was, he had a house. So I was living in his house rent free. I would work in the supermarket, make some money, come back home, I buy groceries. I was keeping my own part. I didn't want to seem like I'm depending 100% on him. Besides, I was a hustler. I know how to make hair. So on the side, I would braid people's hair. He converted the garage to like a mini salon for me. I would braid hair, as in when you braid one person's hair, $50. You know what $50 would do for my life? And it depends on the length. My minimum charge was $50. So I go, if it's all these short feathers, shoulder length, $50. The longer the hair, the higher the price. So sometimes some girls want to do the floor length braid. Come in. $250, $300. It depends on who's coming up. I go size you first. If it's just my fellow black girls, I know that everybody's hustling. I will keep it minimum $250. And they will know. They say, I thought you said, look, now the price now also becomes, I know, can't look your face. But it's all these white babes, then they want to come and do all this. They want to be black by force. Man, I charge you $700. I will do floor length braid for you and sit down for hours. Even though it's even easier, but your hair is very silky and harder to hold, so I charge them more. Anyway, I was making that money on the side. I wasn't braiding all the time because I was still going to school, so weekends and the days I'm free from school, I didn't have much assignments to do, I will braid or fix people in. Anyway, 4 years passed like that. I graduated as a radiographer, and oh, I was so happy. I called my mom. I used to talk to my mom regularly, my siblings, you know. Called them, I'm like, okay, I'm a graduate now. You think that none of them knew I was married, though. I didn't tell them I was married. But when I graduated, I told them that I got married. And I've been, mom say, how will you marry? I said, mommy, forget all that thing. Leave all that matter. Now you boy marry. He said, and so, a life story. Anyway, my life started to shake a little bit after I graduated. Now, by this time, Ben was like going towards 70. He was in his 60s when I met him. But we found out that he had cancer. prostate cancer. I was very devastated because even though I wasn't 100% in love with him when I met him, but I've grown to love him in my own way. I've grown to I was already used to him. You know, we're friends, we're a couple. So I was working overtime, trying to pay his bills. He was going through chemo. But that was not the shock. The shocker was that it turns out that the nurse in the hospital was his ex-wife. And well, long story short, because she was always the one caring for him when he was having chemo and I was busy hustling and working and trying to keep the house and keep the lights on and pay the bills, they rekindled their love for each other. By this time, I was already a U.S. citizen. I already had my green card. I was doing okay. But I'd already made up my mind that this is it for me. I'm married. I was invested in the relationship. I wasn't looking to find ones, you know, say I'll go back home and marry some. But I was content with my life. And so I started noticing changes in him whenever I come to see him. He's always in a hurry for me to go. I met the ex, so I didn't know who she is. So, and she was always giving me one kind of look, attitude, like, I'm like, okay, well. So one day, as a sharp girl, now look, forget though. I'm older now, so I'm wiser. I came into the hospital. I met them. I saw them from, I was about to enter into his world when I heard them laughing. I was like, I stood by the door and I was just watching. Saw them kissing each other. You know, like old couples. I felt, hey, yeah. Like, these people must really still love each other or something is going on in this picture. And funny enough, I wasn't angry. Because I felt it coming. So I just cleared my throat and quickly separated. Like, no, it's okay. I looked at him. I looked at her. I said, do you still love him? She said, yeah. You want to give me a certain? No need for the attitude. You still love him. Yeah. You're going to take care of him. Yeah. And I'm fine with it. I looked at him. I said, you love her. You want to go back to her? He said, babe, it's not. I said, you don't need to explain anything to me. Look, I know that you've been having a bit of a problem telling me. So I'm going to make it easy for you. I will go to the court and get the divorce papers ready. It is, I and them, they never had kids. I was too busy with school, you know, then the cancer. So we never had kids. I'm like, look, you do not owe me anything. I'm very grateful for the time I spent with you. I'm happy that you are happy. Your happiness is my goal. So if you think going back to your ex is going to make you happy, then fine. I will give you that divorce. You know, he was like, I didn't mean it to her. Like, no, it's fine. So he did something very amazing. When we signed the divorce paper, like he signed, as a, you see the check where this guy cut for me, man. I was like, you know, you didn't really have to. He said, no, I need to. You've been nothing but amazing to me. And I need to do this for you. A guy cut me check, 100k dollars. Oh, to tell you that this guy was in money, but he knows that I played the part of, not that I played, I wasn't after him for his money. So I was working and I was paying bills with my little change. And if in his mind, he just felt I was amazing. Like, dude, let me say amazing, it's just what it is, you know. So, well, the divorce was final within months. Since we didn't have kids, it was easier for us to separate. I was hurt, but I understood. It's like, you've gotten used to something like that. You've gotten to someone. I had to look for somewhere else to live. So I got myself a very small apartment, just a two-bedroom. Like, a one-bedroom, living room, bedroom and kitchen, just simple studio apartment. And well, I continue to live my life. So I was like, okay, it's time for me to go to Nigeria now. The divorce was final. I changed my name back to my father's name. My documents was back to bearing my last name. It was difficult, but you know, it took some time for it to really flow. All my documents to begin to register as Nkechi Onoha. So I went back to me being Onoha. I like, look, I gotta go back. Now at this time, this is like 6 years after. So I'm like 27 years old, give or take, almost 27. So like, I haven't gone home for one day, not even 1 second. I was a British US citizen and I still didn't go home. I didn't see any reason to go home. But then after my divorce and everything, I found out that my dad was sick. In fact, he was on his deathbed. And I had to go home. So I prepared myself. I'd worked, I have money, I'm balling, I'm living the life, I'm a big girl. Okay? So I went. By this time, I used to send money home to my mom. I send money home to her. I kept her on a salary monthly, you know? So she was doing okay. She was more than okay. So when I went to, I met my mom, I saw my siblings, my step siblings. All of them were happy to see me, even the ones that have not spoken to me in years. My older ones, my younger ones. Well, it was time for my father. My father passed away, actually, at the end of the day. But when I got to Nigeria, 2 days later, he died. Everybody was in mourning. You know how it is now. Bring money, bring money. They're not expecting me because they said that I came from abroad. They're not giving me bills. I said, for what? I had big brothers and sisters that were married with kids that were... They had their own money. They were doing okay. So why do I get the bulk of the bill? I said, Nani, like, go do amas with this senior. My mother is the third wife. I am one of the smallest kids in this house. So you people will bring, share it according to how it is senior. I'm not doing, it's either we all bring equal amount or we share it according to our age as we take senior. Besides, the elder wants to take bulk of responsibility. I am not spending more than that. Like, it's your father. I said, it's your father too. Say, how can you be so selfish? Selfish what? Hey, you people are joking, though. Because I came from the abroad that I went to, which of you from Sudbury? When I was leaving and everybody, I called a meeting. Did you give me 1 naira? No. So what is this nonsense I am in? You guys don't even know my life, so please don't. And say, we know saying a shower you go to. I said, leave them. I do a shower. Yes, and I'm standing here, and you're not eating a shower money now. You won't chop. She know the catch now. I said, look, if you guys are not going to do the needful, that's your problem. Your father practically kicked me out of the house when I came to tell him I was leaving. He was so glad to let me go. He didn't even give me 1 kobo, but I came out of respect for my mother, not for him. I'm not angry at him, but he never took me as a human being. So why should I be bothered about him? I said, well, look. This is how much I'm going to bring. Anything else, that's your problem. And I dropped a hefty sum. It was my father's burial. My father was a known man in that town. So I dropped like 5 million for the burial alone. I said, look, I will pay for 1 cow and I will drop only 5 million. Anything else, that's your problem. Everybody, when I called them, everybody just shut up. And I did it on purpose. You know, after complaining, he dropped that hefty amount, you know. I said, look, I'm doing only 5 million, that's all. Nobody should come and meet me for what? Tell me water finish, I will slap somebody. I don't care how old. They're like, okay. And I walked out. Well, the burial thing took place. We did everything. Buried the man. The party was on. No Nigerians now. They like to party about everything. I'm like, oh, what's that to party? Well, I couldn't wait. I just, because my coming to Nigeria, I had plans. I wanted to start up a business. You know, like a lab. I wanted to open my own lab and all this. And so I was trying to get a license. I was doing everything I was supposed to do. I bought a house on the island. I moved my mom in there. I knew that I would be traveling most of the time before I settled down. So I was okay with my mom and my siblings living in the house. Because most of the time when I come, I'm in a hotel anyway. Not because I want to spend money, but I was not used to the noise and the heat of Nigeria anymore. So, hotel was it for me. So, I went to started doing my thing. I started reconnecting with old friends. I travel, I'll come back. My lab was ready. Like, I imported state-of-the-art equipment. Like, this is something that I've been planning for years. So it's not like I just woke up one morning and did it. I bought my machines, I shipped them to Nigeria. Everything was just falling into place. I got my license. I employed not too many staff, but you know, I went into Unilag, the radiography department, and I started scouting for, because I needed smart, fresh minds, you know. I got some contract with some hospitals to be there, you know, whenever they needed some lab works done, they come to my lab to do it, which was perfect. So I got myself a microbiologist, I got myself a radiographer, I got different people to work, you know, the right people for the right job. And I set them up at work. Salary was very good. So I was like, look, I had a meeting with my staff. I said, look, I'm paying you well. I expect the best. If you as much as slack, I'm kicking you out. I don't have time for nonsense. If you give me your best, I will give you the best. If you give me nonsense, my guy, I will give you nonsense. Do you understand me? Everybody agreed. Said, look, let me see that I'm paying my money. Let me get my money worth. That's all. And we were working well. The lab was growing. Like, the lab was really growing. People were coming in to do their jobs. I was getting more contracts from hospitals. Because, look, we got the right job. We had the right equipment. That's one thing about Nigeria. And I knew that the problem is not starting. The problem is maintenance. So, I invested very much in good maintenance techniques and companies that could maintain my machines. And things were going fine. So now I'm settled. I still travel and come back just to clear my head once in a while. And my staff, they love working with me. They love working for me. So I traveled one time and I got a call from my manager that, okay, someone quit because she was pregnant and they were going to get a replacement. I said, okay, do the needful. Let me know when it's done and put him or her on a probational period, and if he surpasses your expectation, then give him a permanent position. And that was what we did. So I was away for a long time because I heard that the thing is, Ben passed away. So I went for his funeral. Come on, we are divorced, doesn't mean I can't show my respect. So I went to pay my last respect, and you know, my stay was a bit longer this time. I usually travel for like a week, 2 weeks, but this time around I was gone for like 3 months, you know. I buried Ben. I just needed to cool off and be reboot, you know. And then I came back to Nigeria. So when I came back to Nigeria, I was in my hotel. That evening, I decided to go down to the bar to have a drink. Now, by this time, I'm already like approaching 30, 28. So I was drinking with some friends, and this very cute young man just walked past me. I'm not a shy person, okay? But I'm not somebody that would like express myself so easily. But when I'm comfortable around you, my guy, I'll just show you my true color. Anyway, I noticed that the guy was drinking somewhere else. Like, I was sitting on one side of the bar, I was sitting opposite. And he was staring, and you know me now, he's a fine guy. He was staring, I was staring. And so my friend got my attention, and I started talking to her, and then he walked up to me. I said, hi. I said, hello. He said, I noticed you checking me out. And I guess I was, why? Do you have a problem with it? He was like, ooh, she's shy. As in, she's not shy. I laughed. I'm like, can I help you? He was like, did you like what you saw? I'm like, who is this cocky fellow? I said, well, I should ask you the same thing because you were also staring at me. I'm like, yeah, because I liked what I saw or what I'm seeing. Has everyone ever told you that you have this very, I don't know how to put it, your eyes are like so dramatic. And they, what do you mean dramatic? And I know, like, when I look, your eyes are just so, I don't know, the shade of brown is special. I'm like, calm down, I'm wearing contact. He laughed, like, oh my God. I mean, most girls would not just admit that on the spot. I said, why am I going to, why am I hiding it? I use glasses, but I decided to wear contact. And that's what you are looking at, is contact lens. I'm like, okay, well, can I join you? I'm like, sure, sit down. So we got talking, we got drinking, alcohol, fine boy, do the math. We ended up in bed together. Anyway, I felt, I'm never seeing him again anyway. So I, because this time I had come to Nigeria to start work full time. I wasn't planning on going back to live in Texas. I wanted to be down there to run my business myself. And so I was looking for somewhere else to live. No way will I be living with my mom. Like, that house is hers, but she does not know it. The house was in her name, but I wasn't going to give it to her yet until I found somewhere. And so I was very busy. I was going to meet an agent to show me a new place in on the island. So I didn't want to live in all these dramatically massive houses. So I needed somewhere very simple, like a simple semi-detached, you know, duplex would have been was my goal. You know, I just wanted to live, you know, alone, where I can be comfortable. I won't be feeling so overwhelmed by the size of the house, you know. And so I moved in. It was a very busy week for me. By the time I resumed, you guys, guess what? The new staff that they employed happened to be my mystery one night stand. I was like, oh shit. When I came inside, and they're like, oh, everybody, this is the this is Miss Nkechi. She's the owner of this establishment. I'd be like, good day, ma. Good morning, master. I've always not been comfortable with people calling me ma, but it's a thing in Nigeria, so I'm not gonna correct anybody. I'm like, good day, everybody. Thank you for choosing to work with me. I'm not gonna keep you all. If you have any problems, either see HR or you see the manager, or you come to me. But I hope we continue to work very well together. I just gave my little speech and I went into my hall. But I've seen the guy. So I just walked into my office and closed the door. I'm like, oh shit, this is not good. I'm like, well, anyway, who cares? I had an itch. He itched it and that's it. But I was never thinking that I was going to see him again, or, you know, you're going to keep coming into my view like that. I'm like, well, time passed. And one lunchtime, I decided to go and eat somewhere. One restaurant close to my office. So when I ordered my food and I sat down alone on my table, and this guy, he's bold, I'll give him that. He walked up to me and he sat down and he said, hi. I said, hello. He said, don't pretend like you don't know me. Because I know you know me. You really know me. I was like, I wasn't going to pretend like I didn't know you. Even though I don't know you that much. We had a one night stand. Duh. How do I know you? I'm like, well, I thought you were going to just act like we've never seen each other before. Like you've been doing. And like, excuse you. And yeah, you've been pretending like you didn't know who I was. I was like, number one, I'm your boss's boss. So yes, me being professional, that's what's called. It's called being professional. So like, okay. Like, well, I like you. I'm like, that's bold. Like, okay. If I wasn't working in your establishment, would you consider dating me? I said, we will never know. You work for me. He was like, okay. Look, I'm someone that I'll say my mind. I'll say how I feel. And that's that. So here it is. I like you. I looked for you. I went back to the hotel several times and I never saw you again. Like, that's a hotel. I don't live there. But like, yeah, I know. And that was the only way, that was the only place that was where I met you. So I thought I could see you again. I'm like, well, too bad. I moved to my house. I'm like, okay. I didn't get your number. I'm like, I didn't give it to you. But like, can you not be mean to me and let's just talk? I'm like, dude, listen. I've seen your file. And I'm older than you. Way older than you. So, yeah. I don't do little kid. It was like, well, you didn't think I was a little kid when I was inside of you. Where did you? I was like, that's bold. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be vulgar. I was like, whatever. But I can't have anything to do with you. We had a one night stand and it's gonna remain like that. That's it. So I got up and I left. I'm like, okay. I didn't even look at him again. And so the next week I was in my office and there was a knock on the door and he came in and like dropped his resignation letter. I was like, what's this? He was like, I'm resigning. I'm like, why, is there a reason? He said, yes, there's a reason. I said, what is your reason? He said, you. Like, how am I the reason? Have I given you? He said, because I can't stop thinking about you and knowing that you are just a few doors away from me and I can't be with you, it's driving me crazy. I can't concentrate on my job. So yes, I'm resigning. I'm like, okay, suit yourself. But like, really, that's all you have to say? I was like, what am I supposed to say to you? He was like, look, okay, let's take a deep breath. And like, you take a deep breath. It's okay. Now, this thing, I don't work for you anymore. Can I take you out for a drink? I looked at him and like, you don't give up, do you? I said, well, no, you can't take me out for a drink. I'm not going on a drink or a date or anything with you. I'm like, okay, well, it was worth a try. So he left and I continued my life. Turns out he was doing well for himself. He wasn't the healthcare, he was our IT guy. He was good with technology and computers and all that. And so he had his own company on the side, but he was just working. I don't know why he came to work for me anyway, but he was working for me. So one day I went for a conference in Abuja and it was like a tech conference. Look, I'm a radiographer. I deal with technologies and stuff, and I needed new, I'm always out for a new better thing, you know. So I went for this, like, it's like a trade fair and you see a lot of tech guys and radiographers and all different kind of people there. And so I was there, I was checking out a machine and someone, I'm like, so can you tell me about, I wasn't paying attention, I was just so engrossed by, you know, the machine. I'm like, so can you tell me about this machine? And he said, yeah. He started talking and I recognized the voice. So I looked up and he smiled, but he didn't break concentration. He just kept talking because I wasn't the only one here now, there. So he was just explaining to us what the machine could do and all that. I'm like, okay. So how much does something like this cost? He told us the price. We're like, but we are presently running a deal, right? So if you get this machine, you get it for this price instead of this price. I'm like, okay, sweet, that's nice. We're like, yeah. And I walked to the next place. I just kept walking. And then he came. I noticed someone tapped me. I turned. He was like, hi. I said, hi. He said, I have a feeling you don't know my name. Like, what made it obvious? He said, because you've never called me by my name, not once. Like, well, it's not like, I can't remember it. Like, okay. Well, my name is Ike. As in Ike, but people call me Ike. Like, okay, Ike, how can I help you? He was like, can we sit somewhere and talk? I was like, look, I'm just here for this conference. Like, the conference is almost over. You've seen everything that should be seen. And how do you know that? I said, because I've been watching you since you stepped into this place. I'm like, stalker much? Like, no, I'm not stalking you. Like, I said, okay. I'm like, whatever. So we went somewhere, we sat down. And I'm like, what would you like to drink? I ordered my drink. He ordered his. And we got talking. He was like, don't you think it's fate? I'm like, fate? Yeah. This is the third time we are stumbling. And we are stumbling upon each other. Like, yeah, really stumbling. Like, seriously, this is the third time we are meeting. Don't you think it's fate? I'm like, what does fate have to do with anything? But like, can you just give me a chance, you know, to get to know you? Like, why would you want to get to know me? Like, there's nothing special about me. But like, that's what you think. That's what you think, but you were very special to me. Like, Ike, right? Like, you know, Ike. Like, okay, fine. Look, I don't hate you. I think you are a very nice guy. And I'm like, okay, but, because I feel a but coming. I said, but I can't date you. He's like, why not? Look, what's the difference between you having a one-night stand with me and dating me? I'm like, okay, it's complicated. This is Nigeria. What would people say? Like, I didn't peg you for someone that cared about what people would say. I like you. I really do. I really, really like you. And I know it was much, much more than an itch. So don't give me that itch thing. I was like, look, aren't you worried that people will think you are going for someone older than you? Like, how much older? You were what? 30? I'm like, no. So you're not even 30. I said, so you're just 25. I said, so? He was like, it's just a number. I'm like, dude, people will talk. I am older than you. So you don't even look a day older than me. Like, look, I just don't have energy for rumors and talks, okay? You, I'm sure you're a very wonderful person. And you're a very, I don't know, you're a nice guy. But I'm not the girl for you, okay? So let's end this here, alright? Thank you very much. Have a good day. So yeah, I didn't get to see him again for almost like 3-4 months. Actually, this is what happened. So my birthday was coming up, my 30th birthday. And I wanted to celebrate it like very well. It wasn't like a big deal. I just wanted to have my friends have a dinner. You know how they do it in Nigeria now? Dinner party. Not a party, but I just wanted to sit with a couple of friends in a nice restaurant and eat and talk and laugh and just celebrate me. And so we chose the restaurant in, I forgot the name of this place, one hotel like that. It's not Transcorp, Golden Gate. So we went there. It was expensive, but I was willing to spend my 30th birthday. I had the money, but I still spend it. So I had like 10 of my friends, some boys, some girls. Like, they were girls, but they came with their dates. So it was like everybody had a date except for the celebrant. And so we planned the dinner. I arrived. We were just there sitting down. Now, you know, I just sat down while we were eating and chatting. I couldn't help but just be reflecting on myself. I wasn't feeling sad or anything, but you know, sometimes you just feel like, okay, I'm 30 now. And what next? What's my next move? I have a good business. I have money. But one thing I've always desired is to have my own family. Like, yeah, I was married before, but I never had kids. And I wanted that for myself. I wanted a family, you know, husband, kid, the whole nine yard. you know, white picket fence, all those shit. And like, but some, for some reason, guys find me intimidating when they hear I own NK Labs, and you know, it was very popular. I'm the owner. This, I try to, you know, I try not to be flamboyant in my style, but I like the good things in life. So I drive a good car. Okay, I drive a G-Wagon, and even though, and I live in a very good area, but I was just trying to cut it down. But you know, people were always, some men just felt, especially Lagos boys, they just felt intimidated by me, and I'm like, that's your problem, Sha. It was really getting to me because I've been on dates, blind dates with people that I thought, you know, they all turned out to be either douchebags or just gold diggers. I mean, the men can be gold diggers too. Forget it. Like, all they want is money. Imagine you go on a date with a guy and he's been showing up and trying to form big man, and then you get to the restaurant and he's checking here. He's telling you, oh shit, I forgot my wallet. He did it the first time. I'm like, no, I got it. I paid for the food. The second time you want to do it again, I'm like, dude, do I look stupid to you? Do I look stupid to you? Like, every time you go on a date, you forget your wallet. Like, seriously, don't you check? Like, no, I didn't forget my wallet. That's why you not try to change that. And my card, I left it in my car, and I didn't go get it from your car. I'm like, look, the thing is, I don't have my bank card with me. Actually, it's not in my car. I looked at him like, you know what? That's your problem. I stood up and left, but I actually went to the reception and I cleared the bill, but I just left him there. And that was the last time I saw him. So that my birthday, I was just with my friends and we're laughing, just thing. There was cake, there was music. And then somebody, the waiter came with just one small platter. There was a small chocolate cake on it and one, what's it called? Candle. And like, I didn't order this. And like, yes, somebody there said, sent it to you. So I looked, lo and behold, it was Ike. I'm like, oh. And so when he said that I'd seen him, he walked up to me. He knew it was my birthday. He found out. I'm like, happy birthday, Ike. Thank you. Thank you very much. I was happy. It's my birthday, so I was not ready to give anybody any shit. And I'm like, join us, sit down. Hi, guys, meet my friend, Ike. Ike, these are my friends. I introduced him. So we sat down, he sat next to me and we got talking. And I started downing, I was just drinking. I was happy. And I was sad. But I was just drinking anyhow. I was just drinking. And then it was time to go, my friends left. And figured, Ike was on my side all the time. He was trying to stop me from drinking, but I was like, what? It's my birthday. Leave me alone. I would drink. I was tipsy. I was way beyond tipsy. And I was like, okay, that's it. Time for the birthday girl to go to bed. So he paid for a room in the hotel there and took me upstairs. So we went upstairs and I slept off. I expected him to, you know, take advantage and, you know, she's drunk, so let me just sleep with her after all. She doesn't date me, but no, he stayed there. Even when I woke up hungover and was throwing up in the middle of the night, he got up. He didn't sleep on the same bed with me. He was on the couch, I was on the bed. He took me to he cleaned me up, and I went back to sleep. When I woke up the next morning, there was breakfast, coffee, juice, you know, egg, bread, and all the works, waffles, and I love waffles. So like, I didn't know what you wanted, so I ordered a bit of everything on the menu. I was like, thank you. But when I looked at myself, I didn't have my dress on. I only had my underwear on. So I covered myself, like, who took my clothes off? But like, before you start, okay, I didn't do anything. I had to take your clothes off because it was very tight and you were throwing up. So it got dirty. You kind of picked on it. I was like, okay, so what am I supposed to wear now? Well, that's not a problem. What's your size? I'll go get you something. So I told him my size. He was like, okay, I'll be right back. Just eat your breakfast, I'm coming. He went for a while and came back with a very nice, simple dress, my size. and a sandal, flat sandal. But like, I figured you need a shoe too, and I saw your shoe size before leaving. I'm like, thank you. So we got talking. I said, so what's your deal? And like, what do you mean? I'm like, why are you so hung up on me? And like, don't flatter yourself. I'm like, well, a girl can. What do you expect me to think? You're always everywhere. Anywhere I turn, you are there. I see you all the time. Like, so does that mean you're always thinking about me? And like, I didn't say that. He was like, that's what you are implying. Like, I'm not the only one affected by this connection, this attraction between us. And like, there's no, don't deny it. There's an attraction. And he sat down so close to me. And yes, there was an attraction. There is an attraction. Like, I like this guy. He's different. When he left, I just kept running in my head. Like, many guys would have taken advantage, that had sex with me or stolen from me. But my credit card was complete. My cash was there. My purse, nothing was tampered with. He was like, look, I don't know why, but I like you a lot. A little bit too much for my sanity. I'm like, really? He said, yes, really. I'm crazy about you, but I don't know what to do to convince you. I'm like, well, I don't hate you. But you keep pretending like you're not affected by this connection. I'm like, what connection? And he started kissing me. Well, like I said, there was a connection and I was attracted. So I gave into the whole thing. From kissing led to something else, and we had sex. Very unprotected sex. Like, we were like animals trying to devour each other. And when we were done, he was like, please don't shut me out again. I'm like, when did I do that? I said, you did that the last time and you made me feel so dirty. Like, what do you mean? You pick a girl up in the bar. What were you expecting? I'm like, okay, fine. But now I didn't pick you up in the bar. And I don't want to be another one night stand to you. I'm like, you're just asking for too much. I said, no, I'm not. And I know you are not that kind of a person. You like me. And I like you. You like me as much as I like you. So why can't we make a thing out of this? Why can't we have a relationship like normal people? Like, because we are not normal. I'm older than you. Like, that you with the age teen again. Like, who cares? Who cares if you are 5, 10, 20 years older than me? Like, what matters is how I feel about you. Isn't that enough? I'm like, look, I don't, you don't have an excuse. Like, I need to think about it. Like, fine. I'll let you think about it. But before you go, I need your number. Like, are you demanding it? Yes. I started laughing. Like, okay, please, can I have your number? And your address. I'm like, well, no, like, please. So I gave him my number. I gave him my home address. And like, don't just barge into my house. If you want to come see me, call me. I'm like, definitely. So like, weeks passed, we got talking, we chat on the phone, and you know, I started seeing more and more reasons to like him. Sometimes we have lunch together. We didn't have sex with each other again until like a month after my birthday. I noticed that I didn't see my period though. So, but sometimes my periods can just come like 2-3 days late, but this one, it was like 5 days late. I'm like, okay, this is new. I wasn't thinking about anything. I forgot about the sex without protection. I forgot about everything. I was like, well, I didn't think much of it until I started really, really feeling feverish and in the middle of the day and in Nigeria hot sun. Like, no, this is not normal. So I went into one of the rooms in the lab. I work in a lab. And we always have like pregnancy test kits and stuff lying around, you know. So I went, I took one, and I went to do myself a pregnancy test. Hello and behold, I was pregnant. I'm like, okay, this is not good. So I was like, do I tell him? Because now we are friends, we talk. But he has been like giving my space, and I've been taking it very slowly. So when when he just like, it's like he, I don't know, he just called me at that moment, but my voice wasn't really as excited as I used to really was. I was sounding a bit low and confused. He was like, "NK, what's the problem?" I don't know how he could sense it. He was like, "Who told you there was a problem?" He said, "No, NK, there's something wrong. What is it?" I'm like, "Can we see?" He's like, "Sure, when? Should I come to your office?" And I know, "I'll meet you." I'm like, "Okay, then you come to my office then." I'm like, "No, let's meet on a neutral ground." I'm like, "Is everything okay?" I said, "Yes, maybe." They're like, "Okay, you're scaring me now. I'm leaving the office. I'll meet you at the coffee shop close to your office. And I'll call you when I'm there." So I waited in my office. When he called me, like, "Okay, I'm there." So I walked down to the coffee shop and I sat down. I was looking so pale because I was feeling really sick. Like, "You look horrible." "Thank you." "No, I don't mean it like that." I'm like, "What's wrong? You don't look yourself. You look very pale. And what's the problem?" I'm like, "I don't know how to say this, but and I understand if you are not ready, because I'm not ready to." I'm like, "What is going on? Tell me." So because I had the test tube with me, I don't know why I took it with me. So I took it out of my boss's purse. It was wrapped in a tissue, and I put it in front of him. I opened the tissue and put it in front of him. He was like, "I don't get it. What's this?" I'm like, "Look at it, the pregnancy test." And then, "What does it mean?" I know what it is, but what does it mean? Like, it's two lines. What does two lines mean? Does it mean? And he now got the message, like, "Wait, are you pregnant?" I said, "Yes." He was like, "Really? You're carrying my baby?" I'm like, "What kind of?" "Yes." "Right, then why is that? Why you're sad? Like, it's a good thing." "Oh, is it not a good thing?" "It's a good thing, right? Like, look, this is fate." I'm like, "Yeah, but there's no but about it. This just goes to show you that we are meant to be together." I'm like, "Okay, we are not ready for this." "Says who?" Like, I don't know if I can be a good mother. I don't have. Okay, like, "You're jumping the gun, sweetheart. You're going too fast. Relax, okay? You just found out you're pregnant. You're in shock. I get it. But don't jump the gun. Don't make conclusions. Don't say things like this now." But like, "Okay, fine. So what are we going to do about this? We're getting married." I'm like, "No way." "Like, why?" "It's my child. You want this child to have a steady home, right?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Then why wouldn't you get married to me?" I'm like, "There's no need to get angry." I'm like, "No, because I'm tired. I don't know why you keep rejecting me every time." I'm like, "I'm not rejecting you." Like, "Inky, you love me. I know, because I love you too. So why can't we be together? And please don't say age, because that's just going to piss me off more." I was like, "What would people say?" I'm like, "Fuck people, man. I do not care. Do I look like I care?" I'm like, "You're shouting." I'm like, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shout. But I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I don't know. How can I convince you? We are meant to be a family. Look, you're carrying my baby. Come on, give us a try. Let's see how it goes. Like, I've been married before." And you're like, he was in shock. Like, "Yes, I was married before. I'm a divorcee." But you're like, "Okay, you're no longer married, are you?" I said, "No, I'm divorced." "How long?" "Like, almost four years now." I'm like, "So, what's the problem? Is he still in the picture?" Then, "No, he's dead." Like, "I don't get. We got divorced. I told him the story. I married him. Then he went back to his ex. And then we were divorced. And then he died." And they were like, "Okay, so, okay. I'm sorry for your loss. But that's your past, okay? I haven't been married before. I've had girlfriends. I've had fiancé one. But she married who was ready. I wasn't ready. I was engaged to her, but I was still trying to gather funds and plan something, and it didn't work out. But look, we both have past, but we need to go past it. Oh well, we just sat down there and staring at each other. I was just looking at him like, what am I going to do with this guy? Yes, I like him. Yes, he's everything I want in a man and more, but it's just the age thing. Like, I don't want anyone to call me a cougar, you know what I mean? Like, but then I was like, since when did I care about what people thought? Am I not the same girl that married one white Oyibo man that's like 20 years my senior? I was like, well, we'll just see how it goes. Anyway, he follows me back to my office. He's like, are you sure you can keep working today? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just gonna, if he continues, I'm gonna just go home and rest. He's like, okay, call me immediately. You feel like you're not okay, okay? I'll come immediately. I said, okay. So he went back to his office, gave me a kiss in front of everybody and left. I mean, I just boned. The point you were to talk now. I know the rumors starts that these two are dating. That's why he quit. But I just went to my office and shut the door. So I started seeing him. We started dating. We started making plans to get married. Because, yeah, I wanted everything to go right. And so I was like, I don't want anything big. I'm already pregnant. I've been married before. They said, I was like, look, I want you to have the wedding of your dream. It doesn't have to be flamboyant, it doesn't have to be big, but let it be what you want, okay? And I'm fine. And so we planned this intimate get together. Just after the registry, we have dinner with friends and family, and well, but first we have to tell the parents. So I called my mom, I said, I'm seeing someone and I'm pregnant. My mom was like, hey, I'm not shocked again by the things you do, because you've always done the things your way. So who is this guy and when is he coming? That was the first thing she asked. I'm like, well, he's coming with his people, you just have to tell us when and we'll come. She's like, okay, I need to talk to your uncles and they will plan it. I'm like, look, I don't want drama, just call who you need to call, let them come and pay my dowry, let me get married and let me move on with my life. So I and Ike kept talking. I'm like, okay, so what's gonna happen? Am I moving into yours or are you moving into mine? I'm like, you're moving into mine. I was like, but have you ever been to my house? I was like, that's true, I haven't. I'm like, then I think we need to rectify that, don't we? I said, okay, I'll come to your house on Friday. He said, no, I'll come and get you and take you to my house where I'll cook for you and we'll have a nice lovely evening. Said fine, okay. And oh, he came to pick me on Friday. Okay, let's just say his house is better than mine, bigger, finer, in a much, much posh area. It was a very good house. It didn't really look like a bachelor's pad. I'm like, are you sure? I'm like, look, I'm a bachelor, yes, but I like to feel like I'm in a house, not in a studio. You know what I mean? We just laughed. He cooked, we had dinner, you know, we started making plans. I'm like, okay, you want to check out the bedroom? I'm like, seriously? I'm like, what? It's just an innocent question. I'm taking you on a tour. And I was like, okay, let's start from the kitchen. And I started laughing. He took me on a tour of his house. We saw the house and we eventually got to the bedroom. And you know what happens in the bedroom? Well, anyway, let's just say my Friday visit, I ended up staying till Sunday. Then I had to go to work. Like, I have to go back home because I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm like, do you really? Like, seriously, you need to move in now. I'm tired. Like, I just want to keep waking up to you every morning. Like, I've gotten used to it. Like, in just 2 days. Yes, in just 2 days. Like, it feels good. It feels normal. It feels like you were meant to be here. Like, I know, right? Okay, fine. I will go home and then next weekend I will bring in some stuff to your place. Is that okay? I'm like, fine, I can work with that. Just take your time. I could just help you move. And like, look, I need to put my house on for rent. I need to put it up for rent or sell it or something. He's like, don't sell it. Put it on rent. Why do you have to sell it? I'm like, are you sure? I said, yeah. So, well, I was at the office on Tuesday when one very pretty girl came to my office. I didn't know who she was, so someone just like, someone's here to see you. I said, okay, send her in. And she came in. She's like, you must be Nkechi Onoha. I said, yes, I am. Who might you be? She was like, so you are the thief. You are the cradle snatcher. In my head, I'm like, what is one saying? I'm like, excuse you? I'm like, yeah. You're the one trying to snatch my man from me. I'm like, I'm sorry, who is your man? You're like, Ike. You are the one that is trying to take him from me, aren't you? Look at you, old cargo. She's there making noise, like, trying to embarrass me. I didn't even answer. I just dialed my phone. Security, please, can you come and take... There's a lunatic in my office. Can you come into my office and get that out? Thank you. She's like, I don't care what you like, call the police. Let me just warn you, stay away from my man. You cradle snatcher, cool girl like you. Useless woman, because you have money. You're not going to be showing yourself. You're going after small, small boys. I was just looking at her. In my mind, I'm like, this is what I was trying to avoid. This is what I was afraid of. I'm like, where did that happen? I just kept quiet. And they came and threw out. I didn't say anything. Even by lunchtime, Ike called me. I didn't answer. He sent text. I didn't reply. He sent voice message. I didn't even play nothing. Before the end of the day, that day, he was in my office. He was like, what the hell? Why are you ignoring me? I'm like, are you here to shout? He was like, no. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. What's going on? He just came into me and sat down. Like, why have you been acting cold to me all day? I'm like, why don't you ask your girlfriend that came to my office to embarrass herself, not me? I'm like, what girlfriend? What are you talking about? I'm like, some girl. I didn't even catch her name. One girl, I described her. I'm like, shit. I'm like, so you know her? I said, yes, I know her. She's my ex. I'm like, so what's her problem? Why is she coming after me? I'm like, look. Okay, here's the thing. After the first time we met, you know, the first one night stand, we were already having issues. So I broke up with her when I went back home. Because I met you and I couldn't get you out of my mind. So, well, the relationship just, it was already going downhill from there. And we broke up. I told her it was over, but she traveled afterwards, and like when she comes, she's just gonna give me time to think and all that shit. And well, she just got back into the country and she still thinks that I was joking. And I'm like, well, I just got up a minute, picked up Papa, I said, fix your shit, because the last thing I need is someone coming to my office to insult and embarrass me. And I walked out like, wait, please wait. I'm like, don't follow me. And I just went, god, shit. I could hear him cursing behind me. I just went to my house, and like that evening he came to my house. He was like, babe, it was knocking, I didn't answer. He called and I know you are home, please just open the door. I will make noise though. And when I start making noise, the neighbors will come outside. Look, we need to talk, please open the door. So I opened the door and I watched. I'm like, damn, like, you are listen, okay, look, I know how it looks, okay, but I promise you, we are over, I'm done, we are not dating, I have nothing to do with her, I broke it up with her months ago, after our first encounter. I'm like, then why can't she get the memo? Why is she coming? Do you know what she did in front of my staff? I'm like, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't know she was going to do something so stupid, and trust me, I've sorted it out, I've warned her, and I've told her off, and she's not going to bother you again. I'm like, she better not bother me, because the next time she comes close to me, I swear I'm going to hurt her. You're like, okay, relax. I'm like, no, don't tell me to relax. I'm pregnant, I'm cranky, and the last thing I need is some stupid jilted ex-girlfriend coming to coming to insult me. I'm like, okay, fine, I get it, I'm sorry, relax, okay, it's not good for your health, calm down. I was just panting. I'm like, come on, I'm sorry, now I didn't know she was gonna do that, I'm really sorry, come on babe. I'm like, whatever. So, are you hungry? I'm like, I'm always hungry. I was still sulking. He just came and hugged me and kissed my neck, and you know, we started playing from there. And that Friday I moved into his house. I was practically living with him. We planned the introduction and the whole thing for the following week. We had to do everything fast before I started showing, because the last thing I wanted was to be doing a wedding with a big stomach. So we had the wedding done within a month. And luckily I wasn't showing for a while, so we were married. You know, we got married and life was beautiful, you know. I loved him. I know the rumors were going around. I was the cool guy, cradle snatcher. Imagine the old woman and the young guy. I'm like, look, guys, well, I'm just 5 years older than this guy. And you can't tell from my face because I look younger than I am. But even at that, what's that business? So one day I went for a meeting and I went to a meeting with some of my old classmates, actually, and we were having a drink, and there's this girl that's always on my nerves. Like, she came for the meeting. I don't know, it was some kind of like reunion that you see some people that you don't want to see. And I went, I was pregnant, and I just said to go because one of my closest friends I have not seen in years was like, I'm coming, you show up, I need to see you. So I went there, and we were just eating and talking, and this stupid girl, her name is Tolani, she said, Kiru, I heard that the person responsible for your pregnancy is one of your toy boys. I wanted to ignore her, you know. I was pissed off, but I was like, I kept quiet. Everybody turned to her like, Tolani, what's your problem? I said, what? Am I not? It's just a question. Besides, is it not true? He said, was it not your daughter? Well, you know, his cougar, his sugar mommy. And I dropped my fork and knife and like, bitch. Even if he was my boy toy boy, whatever you want to call him, it's none of your business. What I do with my life is not your business. You get me? Last I checked, I am married. You are not. He's my husband. So mind your fucking business. And I continued eating my food. I was boiling. I just texted them. I came like, honey, can you come pick me up? He was like, where are you? I told him where I was. Okay. And he came because I took a taxi. I didn't want to drive, so I took a cab to the meeting. And oh my goodness, my baby boy came in a G-Wagon. Our car now. He came, parked his car. The thing about Ike is he can never be caught haggard or looking scruffy. Like, you can't catch him dead looking anyhow. Always looking clean, always looking on point, smelling good. And when he walks into the place, you can see them. At least most of them haven't seen my husband, so they were all like, damn, check out this guy. Like, don't look like one fine guy is coming to our table. And Tolani was really adjusted to like, fine boy. I knew who it was because I smelled him from the moment he stepped into that place. And he just came to me and kissed my cheek. Like, hey babe. Like, hi, everybody. Like, guys, this is my husband. Ike, these are my classmates, former classmate. Like, nice to meet you guys. I'm like, so honey, are you ready? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, babes, it was nice catching up. Okay, see you guys around. And I just put my hand around his waist and walked out. I could hear them like, damn, that guy is fine. Is that his husband? Chineke God. If not me, forget him. Like, let me be 3 years old. I married this one. I just smiled and walked away. So when we got in the car, I was just laughing. And like, can you imagine Tolani? You're like, honey, just ignore her. obviously you can see that she, if she had her way, she would want to get in my pants. And like, what are you now feeling like? Like, okay, no, I'm gonna keep quiet now. And like, fine. Anyway, I need ice cream. Like, okay. Like, you're not gonna lecture me on all the sugar. So why should I lecture you? You want ice cream, you're gonna get ice cream. Like, that's why I like you. We just laughed and we went to get ice cream. But the point is, I married the love of my life, to be honest. I wouldn't trade him for anything in this world. Not him, not our baby, nothing. But that, the age barrier or whatever, the age difference or no age difference, when you meet that person that you're meant to be with, you just know. And you'll be able to withstand anything that life throws at you. And the beautiful thing is that you get to do it together.